my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from Paris, France. Yes, I know, that's right. I'm in Paris right now, and I'm actually, yes, I am out and about, but decided that God's kind of put something a little bit on my heart, so I thought, I'll find a nice park and sit down and share a little bit with you from kind of what's all going on right now. Oh wow, boy, I tell you, this last 4 months has been intense like nothing else. But you know, but the thing is that God is in it. You know, and when we walk with God, when we seek His face, I guarantee you He's going to be putting you and I and anyone that will dare to walk with Him through a set of stretching experiences that you would never get any other way. And the thing about it is that you need those. I need those. We have to go through those, because those are what put steel in your backbone for the journey ahead. Those are what test your resolve. Those are what reveal your character, and those are what really show where you're really at with Him. You know, I mean, Peter thought he was in a certain place with Christ when he said, you know, though everybody deny you, I won't deny you. And then but Jesus, you know, first tells him up front, hey, look, when the situation comes, when the trial and the difficulty comes, you're going to deny me three times. And sure enough, you know, and even before the cock crows, and like that, you know, sure enough, Peter, when he's put in that situation that tested him, and he falls, he deals with the harshness of where he really is at, you know, in the limitation of himself. And you know, right now, see, that's really what God does with us when He stretches us, is He puts you in those situations and in those places that allow you to, first of all, realize where you're really at, and then also to deepen your reliance and your dependence on Him. Because, you know, as you go through a few more things, as you go through a few more sets of experiences with Him, if you're walking with Him, you realize you got nowhere else to go but Him. You realize that if He doesn't show up, you are done. You realize that, you know, He is the source of your life, of your provision, of your protection, of your direction, of your peace, of everything that you need comes from Him. And you realize there's nowhere else for you to go but to Him. So it's important, you know, that you abandon yourself to Him and follow the track that He has for you. Because if you refuse to walk with Him, what happens is you stay in a place where your life is comfortable, awfully sane, very boring, and dead. And then when the fire comes, because it will come, when you have that then come your way, you don't have any strength. You don't have any spiritual metal in you because you haven't been walking with Him. And you fall, you collapse, you can't make the journey that's necessary. See, one thing that people fail to realize is that when Jesus said, He came in John chapter 10, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, He wants you to have the best life possible in this life and in this world. He wants you to know the maximum life while you're here. But it comes on His terms. And it's not what you would think, though. But the life that He gives, the life that He offers, is satisfying. It's fulfilling. It has purpose. It has direction. It has meaning. It has a reason for existence, and it carries on well after you leave this world. And a life lived apart from Him does not. It doesn't have any of those things. So a life lived apart from Christ has no meaning, has no purpose, has no reason for being, has no lasting value. So many times before the body's even cold, you got people fighting over your stuff. And, you know, you've been forgotten before you're even in the ground. And, you know, that's what's so ironic, is that you see so many of these, the wealthy of the world as such, that got it from the world through their own deception and through their own buying into the lie. But even there, how they build monuments to themselves, how they set up trusts and foundations and all these other things, they do just so that they won't be forgotten, to try to add in some element to immortalize themselves if they could, because they want to, but still it doesn't last. It doesn't last at all. I mean, there are the world's great men of a few hundred years ago. By and large, the bulk of them are a footnote in history at best. The rest are forgotten. And even those ones, who knows who they were or what they did. So, it's comical to see man trying to make himself important, trying to give himself significance, when God is the one that promotes and demotes. God lifts one up and God tears one down at His good pleasure. And if people get their rank and their purpose and their fulfillment for a temporary season by selling out to the world, even that God allows, because it fulfills a greater purpose of His. So He lets the Satanists do their little game and jump up one notch here and go down one notch there and do all of that kind of stuff, and they think that they're doing it. But still, even in the end, God allows it for a reason. Just like He said with Pharaoh when Moses was there, hey, I put you in this position for a reason, which was that, you know, in this time and in this way, I would show myself strong by basically your own stubbornness and your own wickedness. I'm going to show myself to be in control and above and beyond anything you got to work with. So God even uses these guys and these kings for that purpose. He lets them set themselves up, entrench themselves, dig their heels in, think in their own mind and their own delusion that they are something. And then, just in a moment of time, He changes the game. Just like with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, God gives him the warning. He gives him the warning. Gives him a dream. Lets him know. And then gives the interpretation of the dream through Daniel. And then, and basically just saying, hey, you know, pretty soon, I'm going to cut you down. And you're going to be like that stump in the ground in that vision of, or that dream of the tree. And what ends up happening there is, even in that situation, Nebuchadnezzar, a year from that time where he'd had that dream, then all of a sudden, he says with his own mouth, oh, look at the stuff that I did. And before, it says in the scriptures, before the words even finished leaving his lips, that an angel from God basically just fulfilled the judgment against him and spoke against him. And in that process, for 7 years, he lost his mind and he walked around like an animal. Living like just out in the fields and being soaked by the dew and everything. I mean, and then when he was allowed to get his mind back, he praised God and he recognized that God was the one in control and above all, including himself. So, you know, God allows these guys to be in these positions and for a season and for a reason. So, you know, don't get too freaked out about them or what they're doing, because know that in a moment that God can smack them like nothing else, and he will. He certainly will. But he allows that for, because it also, even in them, in their wickedness and their deception, being in those positions, they also are able to we got helicopters here too. Okay, them also being in that position, they're able to be used to test and reveal the hearts of others. Remember the whole Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 3 thing, is when he sets himself up and he sets up that whole image, that golden image in the plains of Dura, and when he says to the people, all right, you know, when you hear the sound of the instrument, I want you to bow down and worship it. That is now the test. That now reveals who serves Yahweh and who will serve the world. And at the threat of their life, at a longing to have something in this world or to be something in this world, they won't go that line. They won't go that path. They won't go the hard line. So then the bulk of them, vast majority of them, bow. But what does that do? That also reveals the dividing line between those that are the fathers and those that are not. And notice how it's a lot smaller group than you might think. It's a lot smaller group than you might be persuaded, that really are the ones that have not bowed in their hearts before this world system. So, yeah, so it is a, you know, it's something though too that, you know, you don't have to worry about these things. In fact, Jesus said, look, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6, he talked about seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, what you need, will be added unto you. God knows how to protect and to provide for his people throughout time. He's always done that. Those that walk with him, he takes care of them. Yeah, I've seen that. Gosh, I've seen that. I've seen how God will take care of his people when the times get tough. He finds a way to provide, protect, and to bless, and to keep them. And without that, we would be done. We would cease to exist in this dimension if God stops, or if he lets something come through. So, you know, and even when we go through something, it's because all things work together for the good of the called, those who love him, those that are the called according to his purpose. That he does that Romans 8:28, he allows certain things to go through, because even in those difficult things, in those difficult situations, that those in turn, as you keep following him, God manifests those for the good and for his greater purpose in the long run. You just got to keep moving. You just got to keep moving forward so that you can actually see that. But yes, in the process of moving forward, and this is kind of what I wanted to get to, there is the need and the necessity for how you approach the difficult situations in life and the difficult situations to come that you will face. See, right now, one of the issues that people have is that a bulk of them have yet to, there's something can be mastered in how you approach any situation in life. I want to show you something. Hold on, I want to read you something. In Acts chapter 16, this is something that we've talked about in the past, but it's worth going into. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of this out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust their feet into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Okay. I'm going to stop in verse 25. All right, so here it is. Vision of a man from Macedonia. They go over, they follow God's will, God's leading, God's instruction. And then in the process of following God's will, leading, and instruction, power encounter, they cast out an evil spirit. And then in the process of that casting out of that evil spirit, they now get beaten up, beaten severely, backs ripped open, and then thrust into the inner prison, which is a really, really bad, nasty spot. It's like the worst spot in the jail. And their feet fastened in stocks. Now, okay, stopping right there, how many people, when they face, they're walking with God just for a little bit, and now they face some difficulty, they face some trial, something doesn't quite work out the way that you thought it would, what's their reaction? They start complaining? Do they start whining? Do they start going through this, God, I did what you told me to? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like, or... See, what is it? Here's the question. What is it that at midnight, in verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them? What is it that in the middle of that situation, in the middle of that difficulty that they're going through in the external reality, what's going on with them within where they can praise God, pray, worship Him, in that situation? And I would venture to you that what's necessary for all of God's people, and this is part of why you and I have to go through these stretching experiences and these trials, is because God is moving us to a place where we have learned to go within, no matter what goes on outside of you. So your reality is not governed by your external circumstances and your external situations, but your reality is governed by that which is within, by that which is you found, which is the kingdom of God is within you. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 20 through 21. That kingdom of God that's within you, that your life and your everything in you is governed by that reality. So the very fact that you tap into that reality, that you live from that reality in that place of existence, then governs the way that it manifests through how you then approach the world that you live in and your external situation. See, the reason that this message comes to you now is because your external situation and the external situation of the world that you live in is going to get more difficult, is going to get tougher. And if the scriptures talk about how men's hearts will fail them when they see the things coming upon the world. Basically, when people start to realize how out of control their external reality starts to get, their hearts are going to even melt inside their chests because of the fact that they can't deal with it. There's no substance, there's no grounding to the people that they really are. It's all a facade, it's all a nice suit and a flashy speech, but there's no substance there. There's no anything deeper within them. So God instructs His people and shows His people how to go within. And see, here's what happens. You can be in the exact same situation, exactly the same. Nothing will have changed externally. But if you go within and you allow the Spirit of God to take you within, He can switch the way that you relate to reality. And when you're in that reality, what was once a point of struggle and difficulty becomes a point of prayer and praise unto God. And the external hasn't changed. See, that's the beauty of it, is that you can be in the worst dungeon in the world, torn up, but in that situation, God will minister to you, and if you allow and you go within by your free will, He can turn that same situation into a place where you're praising Him, where you're worshiping Him, where you're glorifying Him. But here's the key: it doesn't come by your efforts. It comes by you, of your free will, yielding to Him and asking Him to do that in you, to make that change in you, and then letting Him do that. But as you go within, now the rest of the story is amazing. I mean, in verse 26 it says, "Then and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" Now, I want to stop there for a second. This is also why you have to forgive people. You have to release people. You have to let it go for whatever it is that people might have done to you. Now think about this. This is the very same guy responsible for their torture, responsible for their torment, responsible for the things that have happened to them. And here, now in the old school, in the Roman times, basically, if a prisoner escaped, the way that they kept order in their military ranks was that if a prisoner escaped, the soldier, whoever was responsible for him, it was his life for that prisoner's life. So that guy would die if he let that people, if that prisoner got away. So for the jailer, for him, in that situation, if the prisoners had left, he now would surely die for them being able to get away under his watch. But now think about it. If here's somebody that's brutalized you, here's someone that has done all these terrible things to you, and now in a moment you see that he may take his own life, do himself harm. And Paul, as a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that situation right there, he reaches out to him in that situation and stops him from doing that to himself. I mean, if he was angry, if he was upset with that guy, if he held bitterness and resentment in his heart for what that guy had just done to him, he would have been in no place to help him. He would have been like, "Oh, all right, let's see what this guy does. Let him hurt himself. Let him do himself bodily harm. He deserves it. That would be justice for what he did to me. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, stripe for a stripe. You know, let him go after himself. But no, he takes that word that came from Christ and he forgives and he applies it right there, real time application. And he says, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. Now, he releases that man from the judgment that he could have passed on him, and that man would have done against himself for what he had already, the way that he had hurt these guys. But see, there's a greater purpose going on in that situation, and we always have to remember that. There's a greater purpose taking place than your own personal comfort, your own little life, and your own existence in this world. You have to focus on God's purposes, God's plan, God's reason for your existence. Because if you don't, you will get caught up, and you'll think just like the world does, which is very shallow, very narrow, very dead. And there's no life in the way the world thinks. There's only death. There's only destruction. There's only pain. So Paul stills this guy from doing himself harm. And he cried out with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. So the loud voice, the purpose is, he doesn't want this guy to hurt himself. In the end, he does not want this person that has hurt him, for him to be hurt, for pain to come back to him, for the damage that he did to God's people. God is the judge, and he judges all men accordingly and fair in his time and in his way. But here in this situation, God uses this as you keep going on, because that man too was a child and a lamb of God. That man too, that jailer too, was part of the kingdom of God. He just didn't know it yet. And we recognize a brother and a sister in Christ Jesus, even if they are on the wrong side, doing the wrong thing, working in the enemy's vineyard. And you have to have the grace of God working in your life. And this also comes from going within, where when that happens, when that realization comes of this is what these people have done to me, that you let it go. That you let that person go, that you hold nothing in your heart against them. Let's keep going. Verse 29. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, okay, so let's stop there. So in that situation, as you keep going, here's your Romans 8:28. And this is the reason you get to the Romans 8:28, God causing all things to work together for the good of those who love him, the called according to his purpose. The reason that it works is because they kept going. They kept following with Christ in that line. They didn't stop halfway. They didn't stop at judgment, doom, and gloom, but they kept going with him into life and light and truth and redemption and salvation. And in the process of going that full gambit, that full length with Christ, and with the teachings of who Jesus Christ was and is and is in our heart, as they went that full length and that full distance, what ends up happening is redemption for this man and for his household. Salvation comes to that man's house in the middle of the night. And he rejoices. Think about it. If Paul let him have the... If he didn't hold back the man on his way to the slaughter like an ox, if he didn't do what he did to stop that, because that would have been justice, but if he didn't do what he did to stop that man hurting himself and to stand in the gap for his persecutor, for the one that did so much damage to him, if he didn't do that for him, the byproduct of that would have been that that man would have been lost and his household. So it requires obedience, because that man that night, it says, in that they took him that same hour and of the night, they washed his stripes, was baptized, he and his straightway. And when he brought into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so it's like that night, you know, what could have been a time of mourning turned into a time of rejoicing. Because they rejoiced because of the fact that now God had come into their hearts, come into their lives, given them a new way of relating to life and reality in this world. Verse 35, and when it was day, the magistrate set the sergeants, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent us to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the surgeons told these words unto the magistrate, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out of the desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered in the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So, okay, so in this situation too, it's like there's, you know, God will take care of you. You know, he will help the entire thing to go through a resolution. And sometimes even what's interesting here is that these guys won't, you know, for themselves, they won't, they're not going to get tossed out quickly. You know, they're like, all right, we're not leaving now. And, you know, there are times where, too, you know, you have to call people on things. And, you know, we make that decision. So it's not, you're not always a, you're not a mat to be stepped on and for people to wipe their feet on. You know, you put your shoulders back, you pick your head up. And, you know, yes, there's times where we definitely go through things, but we go through them for purpose and for reason and for God's plan. But when we also don't, you're not a stepping board. So there's times where, of course, you know, we call people on stuff. And you have that right. You have that privilege in Christ. You know, I mean, you have to. So anyways, but the game changer in all of this is going within and allowing for God, from that connection that you have with him, to make the change within your heart necessary, so that even in a bad situation, even in a bad or difficult situation, that you're not locked into your external reality defining the way that you approach everything. Too many people are defined by what's going on outside of them. And what's necessary is to let the way that you approach the external be governed by that which is within. So it is a process. It is something that he does. And anyways, it's something that is there for each and every one of his people. So this has been just a little bit of a pep talk for you out of the park. So plans and courses of action now. I take off from here. I'll be in London for a little bit, and then I will be making my way back to Sri Lanka. So I'm not sure when the next talk will be coming out, but it should be soon. And so it'll probably be either from London or Sri Lanka. And you know, there's a lot that's coming up too, even with the site, even with you know, things that we have coming up in the pipeline. So, you know, for those of you that continue to listen in, and for those of you that continue to support this work, you know, I do pray that God blesses you, that God keeps you, that God continues to strengthen you. You know, it's you need to make it your utmost priority to stay on track with Him in this day and in this time, because you know He's not playing hard to get. But if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, the door's open. So that is your path. That is your pursuit. That should be the passion of your heart. So I pray that God blesses you, God keeps you, and just know that I love you, and that we love you. Many thanks again also to just the team that keeps everything going. And you know, we couldn't do it without the support of the Faith Mix team that's here. So just continue to pray for us too. And you know what, in this last round of everything that's happened, God is faithful. We're no worse for the wear and tear, and His kingdom will surely come, and His will most surely be done. So God bless you, and I'll catch up with you soon. All right, bye.